President Biden announced a new goal for vaccinations yesterday. The administration wants at least 70% of American adults to have their first shot by the 4th of July, about 2 months from now. That comes as vaccination rates are starting to slow down in Wisconsin and across the country, something Biden acknowledged in a speech yesterday.
Now we're going to have to bring the vaccine to people who are less eager. So we also know that there are millions of Americans who just need a little bit of encouragement to get the shot.
That's one of our topics in our weekly look at the top stories in national news. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this latest goal to vaccinate 70% of adults over to reach that mark over the next 2 months? Are you holding off on getting vaccinated? What do you think it'll take to get people who are hesitant to get vaccinated? Also coming up, we'll look at a leadership dispute in the Republican Party. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Lisa Mascaro is chief congressional correspondent for the Associated Press. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
I want to start with a quick look at this vaccination goal from the Biden administration. What changes here in their targets?
Yeah, you know, well, the president has laid out this new 70% target by July 4th. And I think it's a step back a little bit from that idea of getting to sort of a broader herd immunity. My colleagues at the White House have been reporting on this for the AP, and they sort of talked about that it's really just to get as many shots in the arms, sort of realizing that there are a number of vaccine hesitant people right now. And there's a declining interest in shots, and it's difficult to maybe get to that broader goal of fully wiping out the virus. That said, you can get to, the more people that are vaccinated, the more they believe it can keep the virus in check. And so getting there, they're ramping up efforts. My colleagues are reporting they're almost hitting about a million doses a day. And, you know, more than half of Americans have at least had one dose. So, you know, they were reporting 56% as of yesterday. So the president is well on the way to getting to the 70% at that rate. But, you know, there are drop-offs, and a number of states are having to give back their what the amount of doses that they're allocated, because they're just not having demand. So the president acknowledged that as well, that there's going to be a need to, you know, try to work with people and encourage those who are hesitant to think about their options and think about their plans here going forward.
Let's move to your beat in Congress now. I want to give a listen to House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. He was caught on a hot mic talking to a Fox News host about Liz Cheney. And this is part of a big, maybe leadership change coming up on the Republican side of the House. Here's a listen.
I think she's got real problems. I've had it with her. It's, you know, I've lost confidence.
So Wyoming House Representative Liz Cheney, she's made comments about former President Trump in the past. Why are we hearing Republicans, especially Republicans in House leadership, talking about, hey, maybe now's the time to take her out of this number three spot among Republicans?
Yeah, the House Republicans are really at sort of an unprecedented crossroads here with this question before them. They are facing a real choice. It shows the influence that the former president Donald Trump still has over the party, out of office, away down in Florida, his private life. Yet he is still watching and very critical of those who are critical of him. Former president and Liz Cheney, who folks might remember is the daughter of the former vice president Dick Cheney. They've been going back and forth over the election results. You know, the former president still claims that he won the election. He, you know, promotes falsehoods, that the vote was not fair. And Liz Cheney is one of the few in Congress who has been willing to counter that and call it out and say, you know, that's wrong. And she really sort of tipped the scales about a week ago. When she gave some comments, she is a member of party leadership, and so she gets asked questions by reporters. And in a setting at the House Republican retreat last week, she was asked and she answered some questions about forming this January 6th commission that Congress has been considering, sort of a 9/11 style commission to kind of really look at what happened in the insurrection at the Capitol and what can be improved with policing to keep the Capitol secure, ensure the safety of lawmakers and the public that's coming to Washington to, you know, interact with Congress. That commission has not been able to get off the ground. And she was asked about it. And she said, you know, yes, we need this commission. It was a big break from party leaders. It was a big break, and it seemed to be sort of the last straw. And it rekindled this whole back and forth with the former president. Of course, Liz Cheney had led a group of Republicans to vote for his impeachment back in January in the House when he was impeached a second time over that insurrection. In any case, this is all coming to a point. The House is away this week, but they'll be back next week. And House Republicans are seriously thinking of holding this internal vote to cast her out of her leadership position. She's the number three leader, the highest ranking woman in Republican woman in Congress, cast her out. And it looks like, from what folks are telling us, she will, in fact, lose that position if that vote is called.
Talking to Lisa Mascaro, chief congressional correspondent for the Associated Press, with us for our weekly look at the top stories in national politics right now, talking about a dispute among Republicans in the House. You can weigh in on that at 800-642-1234. Do you think Liz Cheney should be removed from her Republican leadership position in the House? What do you make of this dispute over the role of former President Trump in the future of the Republican Party? Call in at 800-642-1234. And Lisa, a lot of times it seems like these leadership challenges in Congress are kind of insider baseball in politics. A lot of people seem to be looking at this and reading it as really a debate over the future of the Republican Party. Is it all about loyalty to former President Trump and his version of the 2020 election? Or is it about something with party and principle? Is that overreading it, do you think, or is there something to that?
You know, that's really how a lot of people here in Washington and in people involved in party politics are viewing it. You know, as we were sort of saying, Liz Cheney is one of the few who has stuck her neck out to be critical of the president, particularly on this issue of the election. And she has said, you know, that the party cannot move forward if it buys into this view that the election was taken from Donald Trump, that that's just, it's inaccurate, it's wrong, it's essentially a lie, and the party cannot move forward if it continues to lean into that. You know, a number of Republican voters hold that view. So she is counter to many voters and certainly to the president. Yet there are a number of Republicans and others across the country who say this is a pivotal moment because, you know, there has been no evidence of problems with the election on a scale that would have tipped the balance to the former president. All indications are that President Biden won the election fair and square. And for Trump to continue to sow doubt and for his allies in Congress to allow those falsehoods to continue is a real, you know, turning point for the party and party of Abraham Lincoln, and you know, a problem point for the nation that needs to have faith in its civic institutions and most certainly in the vote. So this question is, you know, can Republican lawmakers speak their minds and speak freely and stand up to Trump, or do they need to fall in line, or they're going to lose their positions too? And I don't think it's a stretch. I think a lot of people see that as the question today. I mean, it was very telling. Senate Leader McConnell made a visit in his home state in Kentucky today, and, you know, had a press conference and was at, you know, people might remember after former President Trump was impeached the second time over the insurrection, Leader McConnell stood up on the Senate floor and just gave a blistering speech against Trump and about what he had done to sort of encourage his supporters to come to the Capitol that day. And, you know, It was very eye-opening because Leader McConnell doesn't always talk that way. So for it to come from him was very strong for him to be critical of the president. Asked today if, you know, he had any concerns about these ongoing disputes over the election, if he had any plans to help Liz Cheney save her position. And he would not answer those questions. He said he's focused only on stopping Biden's agenda. And, you know, he was not willing to you know, stick his neck out for Liz Cheney. And I think those are all moments that people are noticing, people who follow politics, at least, you know, are really noticing of which way the Republican Party is going to go here. Of course, President Biden made some comments today as well about the party. Anyway,
I want to bring on a caller. Frank is with us in Door County. Frank, hello.
Yes, good afternoon. I've been following the career of Liz Cheney for quite some time. I have not always agreed with her, but I felt that she was principled in what she thought. Her arguments were, well, you could track her arguments and positions, very pragmatic, and honest in her approach to things, sometimes to her detriment, as we've heard recently. And so I could not have imagined 10 years ago I would be going to bat for Liz Cheney. But I am also going to bat for the Republican Party's soul at this point. I think at this point they have had a choice all along of who they would follow. And they have decided out for whatever reason to follow one person rather than an ideology or positions that they have held in the past.
Frank, thanks a lot for the call. And that reminds me, I'm seeing ratings from conservative groups over the past few years. Lisa, rating Liz Cheney very high in her votes on conservative issues. Her proposed replacement, Elise Stefanik, substantially lower, 20-30% lower when it comes to conservative ideal type votes. What do you think what Frank had to say about Cheney's role in the party and her ideals?
You know, it's a really interesting statistic. That's interesting polling. I mean, Liz Cheney is nothing if not one of the, you know, more conservative members of Congress, comes from a, you know, very conservative state and a very conservative, you know, family. I'll never forget one of her first press conferences in 2017 at a Republican retreat. She was introduced and she got up and someone asked her a question about waterboarding. You know, her father, of course, was, you know, very much involved in that whole era in the Bush administration of, you know, detainee, you know, questions over the U.S. handling of detainees from the Iraq-Afghanistan war. And, you know, she sort of stood up and stood by it. And, you know, those are her views. She's very, you know, very conservative in so many ways. And yet, you know, on this issue, we've seen over and over again lawmakers who try to confront Trump often lose. I mean, we look back at, you know, Senator Jeff Flake, who at one point was sort of the leader of the, you know, fiscally conservative, no earmarks, no deficits wing of the House Republicans, sort of before the Freedom Caucus House Republicans, you know, before the Tea Party. When Jeff Flake became a senator and started speaking out against Trump, you know, he found he wouldn't be able to win re-election and had to quit. You know, we see Mitt Romney getting booed in Salt Lake City. I mean, here he was the party's, you know, presidential nominee at one point, and, you know, getting booed because of his vote to impeach the president over the insurrection at the Capitol. So it is very difficult for even some of the most conservative members, some of the members that have championed the ideals of the party, to withstand the pressure from Trump and his supporters.
We are continuing our Week in Washington conversation with Lisa Mascaro from AP, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Let's go back to our callers now on Liz Cheney and her leadership position in the House. Michael is with us in Wauwatosa. Michael, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to make a comment on Liz Cheney's position. My thinking is there's nothing outstanding about her being holding up with her integrity and proliferating the truth and honesty. What's outstanding and frankly mind-blowing is the rest of the Republican Party that continues to proliferate this crazy lie in face of all the evidence. And to me, I would think when they saw that Donald Trump lost the election, I would have thought they would have taken a big sigh of relief and said, oh, good. Now we can get back to normal. Now we can be the party of the Republicans instead of the party of Donald Trump. And I just cannot believe that there's such a large, vast majority of Republicans that are still holding on to this madman. That's my comment.
Michael, thanks for the call. Lisa, what are your thoughts on, I guess, the calculations for leading Republicans in Congress for why they wouldn't want to ditch Donald Trump at this point?
Your caller raises this really interesting point, and I think this is what we're seeing play out between Liz Cheney and the other members of Republican leadership in the House. Kevin McCarthy is the Republican leader. He is just a few votes away. You know, the House is very narrowly split. We often talk about the Senate being so split, 50-50. The House is also just a few votes away from tipping to the other side, to Republican control. And Leader McCarthy believes, you know, that keeping Trump close, going to Mar-a-Lago, asking for his support, having him, is a way to continue to build off the enthusiasm that the former president was able to bringing in voters who didn't often vote, you know, or had voted Democrat in the past, and then expanding the party, the sort of big tent out from there. You see the same thing happening on the Senate side with the Republican Senate leader, a campaign leader, Rick Scott, going down to Mar-a-Lago, asking President Trump for his support of Republican Senate candidates. Liz Cheney has a different theory of a case, which a number of other Republicans share, which is Trump kind of has a ceiling. You know, and we saw that over and over in both his approval ratings, you know, just barely getting to 40%. And then also in the vote, right? He wasn't able to win the presidency. Republicans lost the special elections, the Senate races down in Georgia. They lost control of the Senate, and they also 2 years earlier had lost control of the House. And so sticking with Trump from a pure political point of view might not be such a great idea either, because he brings in a core group, but you can't sort of grow that group and reach out. And we saw that with voters peeling away from Republicans, turning back toward Democrats to go ahead and vote for President Biden. You know, your suburban voters in particular are always watched here. Suburban women, which way do they go? You know, suburban voters are often play such a key in those back and forth decisions. And that's really sort of two different theories of the case. And right now it seems like the stick with Trump theory is the one that the Republicans believe is the winning one for them.
And I want to take our last few minutes, Lisa, to look at a story of cooperation in the U.S. Congress for an infrastructure bill, a water bill. What did this do, and why did it get so much support on both sides of the aisle?
Yes, well, we were sort of talking last week that never does such a sort of modest water resources bill carry so much buzz in Congress. But that little water bill that passed the Senate, I mean, I say little, but it is in the scope of what we're talking about, some $35 billion over 10 years to fix leaky pipes and provide other infrastructure. But it got enormous bipartisan support. And a lot of folks sort of looked at it as a possible roadmap of the kinds of infrastructure projects that could get support on both sides of the aisle and become potential building blocks for sort of a broader package. You know, of course, President Biden has proposed this sweeping $2.3 trillion infrastructure package, and then an additional $1.8 trillion sort of families package that invests in, you know, all these other sort of new ways of looking at infrastructure. We call it the human infrastructure, I guess, is the way that it's being framed. You know, child care centers and hospitals and things like that. But this little water bill was able to get support. It went through the sort of regular committee process. It got brought to the floor. The new Democratic leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, has promised that he will allow sort of robust debates and amendments and not just try to jam everything through as maybe it had been done in the past. And so they had a big debate and it passed. And so people got really excited. Senators got really excited. They've got a lot of pent-up desire to actually legislate, which is something they haven't done a lot of in the last few years because of all the gridlock. And so we'll see, you know, it's a small little step. And certainly, you know, there doesn't seem to be vast support from Republicans for the kind of investment that Biden is talking about. But perhaps they could get a little bit of the way there. And that might be something that all sides could sort of point to as some success. You know, I think they all sort of have some agreement that roads and bridges and broadband and water resources are all things that need to be upgraded in this country, airports and ports and, you know, whatnot. So we'll see. We'll see if they get there. But it was a little mini breakthrough, you know, in Congress, which doesn't always have a lot of breakthroughs.
We'll leave it there for now. Lisa, thanks for joining us again today.
You bet, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's Lisa Mascaro, chief congressional correspondent for the Associated Press. She joined us today to talk about a GOP effort to kick the number three House Republican out of her leadership job, a moment of bipartisan agreement on a water-related infrastructure bill and other top stories in national politics.